Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Flanked by her children, Amy Coney Barrett, a law professor and judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, chosen by the president to fill the seat previously held by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, went through her last hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I am certain it won't be too long before she is approved. The numbers are there, as we say, ad nauseum. I say ad nauseum because you can listen to what the Democrats say in trying to undercut or in trying just to get information, because not every single one of them is doing that. And then even the Republicans in some of the comments that were made, and then others that were lifting her up. And this is what you go through when you want a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land. I've said this a few times. This is nothing like the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, but there are some serious issues that will go before the Supreme Court in the next couple of years, and there's a lot at stake. But the Senate Republicans predict clear sailing for this Supreme Court nominee as she concluded her confirmation testimony, and she will end up, I think, on a new path as a conservative religious woman who opposes abortion on the highest court in the land. She's a devout Catholic, as Lindsey Graham said, and she is an unabashedly pro-lifer person who's had that belief since she was a child and is a person of faith. And as he said, she embraces her faith without apology. And he said he'd never been more proud of a nominee than he is of her. But in the meantime, there were others who did not feel the same way. Like I said, frustrated Democrats are worried about her religious background and what that could do sitting on the Supreme Court, especially when it comes to all kinds of, again, big chunks of cases that will go before the Supreme Court, undoubtedly. Abortion rights, birth control, LGBTQ rights, like the right to marry, that kind of stuff. And Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, of course, from Connecticut, said after Barrett said it would be improper for her to endorse the court's 1965 holding in Griswold versus Connecticut, which involves the use of contraceptives by married couples and speaks to privacy concerns that underpin the right to abortion. He said that several members of the current Supreme Court did not hesitate to endorse Griswold at their confirmation hearings, including Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, all appointed by Republican presidents. But she wasn't commenting on a lot of different cases. She wouldn't comment on the court's 2003 ruling in a case named Lawrence versus Texas that struck laws criminalizing homosexual conduct, or the court's 2015 ruling that said same-sex couples could not be denied the right to marry. But this is it. I mean, it's done. She went through her part of the hearing, and now it moves forward, and then ultimately there will be a vote, and the vote should turn up in her favor, and that would mean she is the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Will she be confirmed before the election? That's what's key, because you're talking about 3 weeks, basically. And then all of a sudden, knock, knock, here we are, and it's November 3rd, and people are voting. And speaking of voting, Oh, I am proud of you, America. I know people are nervous about this as they try to figure out, well, does that definitely mean that that's more Democrats, or are there Republicans voting early as well? 15 million people have already voted. That is a record turnout, in the United States of America. Less than 3 weeks to go before the election. During a pandemic. In Georgia, voters, they say, waited as long as 11 hours to cast their ballots on the first day of early voting. In North Carolina, one in five, roughly 500,000, who have returned mail ballots, rather, did not vote in the last presidential election. Boom, they're there. In Michigan, more than 1 million people, about one-fourth of the total turnout in 2016, have voted. So, record turnout. Most of it in person. So, the results were popping up. I mean, the numbers were popping up pretty quickly. Much of the early voting is believed to be driven by Democrats. But I bet you there's Republicans who are voting early, too. You know, the whole COVID-19 crisis, especially just swing even more a couple of weeks in some areas, and it'll be so bloody cold. And it, part of it is breaking this down and then looking at it and seeing if it's more Democratic or somewhere in between, or does the day depend on the state? I would say it probably depends on the date, and it depends on the state as to what that really, really, really means. While that's going on, and Joe Biden tries to stay strong and in the race, Hunter Biden just comes up like a bad penny, sorry, and he comes up at the wrong time. A man who reportedly had a laptop of Biden's spoke out in kind of a crazy interview and talked about this. The New York Post published a story alleging that Hunter Biden dropped off this laptop at a Delaware computer store for repair, and it had crazy emails and nefarious photos on it. And the guy who owned the store didn't want to deal with it anymore and got rid of it. You know, I'm turning the gear over. I'm getting rid of it. The owner, though, did make a copy of the hard drive, and he gave it to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, Robert Costello. Biden's son, supposedly in these emails somewhere, it shows us, was setting up a meeting between a top exec at the Ukrainian energy firm where he served and his father, who was at the time vice president. But the Biden campaign is saying, oh, that's just crap and nonsense. That's, none of that is true. None of that, according to them, is true. I just keep getting stuck on, how are you leaving this laptop in the first place? How do you do that? Are you kidding? The last thing I would do is just leave a laptop with personal information all over it at a computer store, and then, to add insult to injury, not come back and pick it up. To just let her ride. See how it goes. See if nothing happens. Come on. Odds and Ends next.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Would you live in a van? That tops odds and ends. Say hey, Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us, everybody. What kind of state of mind are you in? Americans apparently are ready to try that nomadic van lifestyle. Ooh, sounds good. I want to take this show on the road. According to a new survey, Move.org says that all the turmoil has affected Americans in the sense they want to get rid of their homes altogether. They want to live in a van. A movie company review site asked hundreds of respondents about how they felt about van life, found that 52% of Americans are now more open to doing that, either full-time or part-time, in modified vehicles with beds, storage, toilets, cook stoves, you know, the whole thing. So you'd be embracing minimalism. Forget your roots. You are a minimalist. How does that sound? Wouldn't you miss that eighth grade baseball trophy that is stuck underneath your bed? I mean, I'm just saying, 72% of people surveyed said they try the van life thing if it meant they could pay off their debt. Ooh, that's smart. 74% said they'd try to do it if it meant they could retire comfortably. Another 23% said their primary motivation would be not having to pay rent or mortgage. I can completely understand that, right? Just completely pull yourself out of whatever that debt is. Just completely get out of it. I love it. And I think you tell the company. That's the way to do it. Absolutely. All right. I know you need to know about food that resembles Halloween in some way or makes you think of Halloween. So Dunkin' Donuts debuted a new spicy ghost pepper donut for Halloween. Yeah, pumpkin spices and everything. So it's the new spicy ghost pepper donut. And it's on the menu right now, and it's there for a limited time. And what it is basically a yeast donut in the ring, glazed with strawberry flavored icing and topped with cayenne ghost pepper and red sanding sugar. Ooh. That could either be deadly or fantastic. I'm just saying. It's part of the Halloween lineup. That's the deal. It's kind of a cool looking donut. Can you believe it? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're close to an election, and I'm telling you about, in odds and ends, a donut, for goodness sake. I don't know. Go to Dunkin' and try the Spicy Ghost. Do a good review of it. I don't mean good review. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. And send it to me at kate@katedelaneyradio.com, and I will send you a copy of my tip book. Boom. Just like that. Because you have plenty of time to think about your goals and think about reimagining your life. Don't you? Yes. Yes, you do. Right? And it'll keep you sane. There's activities that you can do. Hey, we can get some advice from the astronauts. There was a story about the 5 astronauts that are in space right now. And you know where they are, right? Of course, the International Space Station. And they know how to deal with it, coping with anxiety and loneliness, because they're in a tin can, basically, an expensive one, for a long isolation experiment, at least from a 520-day Russian isolation experiment. If you think about that, ended in 2011. They talked about doing another one. And, boy, that, to me, would be really tough. It would be really tough. So you think about all the social distancing and everything else that we've been doing since March and winter approaching and the worries about, oh, no, isolation. Can you imagine being isolated in space? So I love that they did do this interview to find out what's it like to be gone for a year? What's it like to be, in space and out of touch with whatever your normal activity is. And so their advice was that you need to communicate. You need to have little times of communication, even from space, because the astronauts have children. They have time to talk to them. And one suggested that retired astronaut Katie Coleman from Massachusetts said she learned that talking to kids or adults was huge, and she would read books with her little son. The other thing is getting exercise. This is the advice to you. Getting exercise, that the crew had to do 2 hours of exercise daily. Wow, really? Because they had to maintain bone and muscle health. Ugh, if you hate to exercise, you cannot be an astronaut. Think about that. You could skip running or walking or jumping rope or doing aerobic anything in your everyday life here on Earth. But if you're an astronaut, you are required to do it for 2 hours. Ooh. And then the ritual, I agree with this one. In space, mealtime is a big thing, and space food has come a long way. So everybody would try to kind of share meals together, be there together for meals. That's a great thing. I mean, that's a great thing to remember, right? Take a meal with somebody instead of just being by yourself. And if you are by yourself, just, do one of those Zoom dooms. Let's eat together. I just had a pizza delivered for you, and I've got my own. Let's have some pizza together and have a conversation. Maybe we throw in a couple of beers too. Maybe we watch the game together. Yeah. That's the ticket. I don't know. There's certainly ways to do that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, a Florida coach, in fact, it's Dan Mullen, won't admit that he was wrong allowing fans to the LSU game. So, you know, we're in this thing about not packing stadiums, and for Mullen, he's talking about, let's pack the stadium with 90,000 people. We want a competitive advantage against LSU. Hello, knock, knock. Spreading COVID-19, sound familiar? He hasn't said much publicly. Who has he offended? I don't know. People just think it's just the stupidity. Of course. Why? We are 7 months into the pandemic. The virus is in control, baby, not you. Florida isn't playing LSU this weekend, and certainly not in front of 90,000 people, because the Gators turned up with positive tests at the beginning of the week, which led to even more on Tuesday, and it's a full-blown outbreak now. Athletic Director Scott Strickland said the Gators had less than 50 scholarship players available. They decided it wouldn't be possible to play the game because the virus snuck up and bit them. But they say they followed the safety protocols and all that sort of thing. And Strickland said the outbreak could have started with a couple of players who had some minor symptoms just a week ago and didn't report them to the medical training staff, saying it was allergies or a cold. And, you know, it does feel like allergies or a cold a lot of times when people get COVID-19. It's not what you expect necessarily, because it affects every person differently. But when you have this, when you have certain symptoms you keep hearing about, you do start to think, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this me? Do I have this? Is this what's going on? So I'm going to pay it off, this segment of Odds and Ends, with this story, because as I said at the top, the pandemic has more Americans ready to throw it in and go into a van and be a minimalist and forget having roots. Only 54% of buyers think now is a good time to buy a home. Yes. And why is that? I think it's because of the root thing, of what I said. One is the roots, and why would you take on a new mortgage? I mean, there were, if you could cut the mortgage payment, or if there was something that just was absolutely you had to do, and there could be reasons why. It would be a really awful time, though. Why put yourself through that now? To wait would be so much better than trying to deal with navigating the pandemic and a very, very big move, or a close move, because loading and packing and all that stuff and people coming in and getting things is where you open up that Pandora's box of possibilities. Nobody wants to jump inside that box. Trust me. All right, we're jumping across the pond coming up a little bit later. Matt Pinard, you do not want to miss him. He's next. Wait till he tells you his story about what he saw in the clouds, in the sky, and how he also helped the FBI. That's next.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Don't forget the three W's. Alex Azar, Secretary of Health and Human Services, tells NBC's Meet the Press, winter and COVID-19, not a good mix.
Cases are increasing, and we're seeing this happen because we're getting colder weather, and we're losing that natural social distancing that happens from being out of doors, and people are getting tired. The American people have given so much. We're seeing mitigation fatigue right now. My message to the American people, please, practice those three W's. Wash your hands, watch your distance, wear your face coverings when you can't watch your distance.
Dr. Janet Nesiwat reminds Fox News we need to stay vigilant.
It is critical more than ever to heed the guidelines so that in certain areas where we're seeing these outbreaks and these surges that we can regain control and maintain control of these areas where we're seeing the spikes.
There is no cure for the coronavirus at this time. USA Radio News. A star of the silver screen has died. USA Radio Network's Wyatt Cox has more.
Rhonda Fleming, the red-haired actress who became a popular sex symbol in Hollywood westerns, film noir, and adventure movies of the 1940s and 50s, died on Wednesday in Santa Monica, California. She was 97. Her death in a hospital was confirmed Friday by Carla Sapone, her longtime assistant. Among her many screen roles, a beautiful Arthurian princess in the 1949 Bing Crosby musical version of Mark Twain's novel A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, a gambler and the love interest of Wyatt Earp, played by Burke Lancaster in the 1957 western Gunfight at the OK Corral, and as an amorous duchess in Bob Hope's 1949 comedy The Great Lover. In the early 1960s, she turned almost exclusively to acting on television, where she was active until the mid-1970s. I'm Wyatt Cox.
USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Australia in this version of Author's Corner, and Gerard Bouquet joins us, and he has written a book called God is a Homeopath. And boy, we've talked about homeopathic remedies, etc., on this show, certainly, and he goes obviously very, very deep into it. He knows this backwards and forwards, and he knows the relationship with homeopathy and the Bible, and he's the founder and principal of the first homeopathic college in Australia, which is just blew my mind when I found that out, because I think I've heard of Gerard before, and so now you're all going to learn about him too as well and his terrific book, because imagine trying to boil this all down, and I could go on and on with his credentials, but let's just say he has quite a few impressive credentials to back up what he's done here. And he's taught homeopathic pharmacy at South Bank, TAFE. And this is a guy who started his career in homeopathy after acquiring experience in the field of research in different areas. And so it's so interesting to be able to take that and then apply it. And like I said, we could go on and on. We had a fascinating conversation off the air. So, Gerard, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me, Kate. So this has been your life, and then you decide you're going to write a book, and a friend gives you some good advice because you could have written thousands of pages, and he tells you, you know, you got to make it so that people understand it. So what would you tell people the book is about?
Well, the book is about the fact that, to put it simply, if you ask people about herbs and the Bible, they will say, yes, we know God created the herbs. And that makes God a herbalist. So people will ask, what makes him a homeopath? Because the principle of homeopathy is actually the recipe. So the herbs are the ingredient, and homeopathy is the recipe. In other words, how you manufacture it, how you prepare it, and how you dose it to the sick people. So herbal medicine is what God gave. It is still being used today. But with homeopathic medicine, it works on a deeper level. That's because of the fact that we potentialize it or we dynamize it. Like I said, we talk about the power of the small dose. The smaller the dose, the more far-reaching it is. So people feel better a lot quicker, I guess.
And that's so interesting, people feeling better quicker. And you probably have seen, I mean, over the course of your career, amazing, amazing results. So what is that like for you to witness that, and then for the people that come to you?
Yeah, well, most people who come to us for the first time as homeopaths, that's just me, that's all over the world, is because they've heard about it from a friend, somebody, family member who got better. They come to us, and the first question I ask them is, do you know about homeopathy? They say, yeah, I know you use herbs in a small dose. But they don't understand the full implications behind it. So normally I explain to them about this snake venom situation, where they would give you anti-venom made from the same snake. So even doctors believe in homeopathy when they are using anti-venom. So in other words, using nature, like poisonous things in nature, whether they are snakes or animal venom or poison in plants, the principle is the same. You use a small amount of the same poison to cure the person. In the case of a snake, we know that the person was bitten by a snake. The hospital doctors will know what the symptoms are going to be. They know the kind of snake. They already have the antivenom prepared. But with the homeopath, he doesn't know that, so he has to ask questions until he finds out the profile, if you like, the picture, we also call it, of the patient's manifestation of his sickness, and then we can allocate it to a herb. For example, a child who is teething, is throwing tantrums, asking for things and throws it back, cries and wants to get picked up, and is always in a contradiction mood. And that's what you would get if you had too much chamomile.
Ah.
So, yeah, see, chamomile poisoning, which is a nice little yellow herb, which everybody likes it, you can have it in a tea. But if you have too much chamomile, it will make you like a tantrum child, if I can say it that way.
And that's a great example. And, you know, and thinking about it, and too, in your book, God is a Homeopath, do you, and maybe this is a rhetorical question, but this is really working for people, and people understand this, and they're finding it, and they're digging it out, and you're serving it up to them on a silver platter, which is really tremendous about your book. Do you think the pharmaceutical people are threatened by homeopathy in general?
Oh, most definitely. Actually, when Dr. Hahnemann discovered homeopathy, it wasn't the doctors who were the first people to complain. It was the chemist. Because you see, in homeopathy, you can take a tablet for example, digoxin, and you can break it down in 1,000 little parts, and you can make it into something homeopathic, and it will still work. So, to give someone digoxin in a full dose, like one tablet, as you would get from a chemist, is okay, works pretty quick. But to give them a micro dose of that same thing, 10 drops morning and night for a month, will stimulate their body to readjust itself. So if they have blood pressure, if they have palpitation, things like that, then gradually the body will find its own level. So this is more or less what we are calling a cure, you know?
Yeah.
The body does the curing, not the tablet. That's the bottom line, yeah?
Right, and that's what you talk about in your book, certainly, and that's what you say, that God gave us our bodies for that reason, and that's part of it. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, God is a Homeopath?
Okay, there are some people, they are spiritual, but they never read the Bible. So when they discover that there is something in the Bible that God has put there, it's been sitting there for thousands of years, and now finally God allows someone to decipher, to get the revelation of the fact that he meant to cure people through small doses of plants which are not necessarily poisonous, because chamomile is not poisonous if you take the right dose, but there are plants which are poisonous. But never mind, a small dose of anything will cure whatever a person can have. So people are they're amazed by discovering that by looking at somebody's symptoms, we can arrive at a remedy, a herb. I mean, we use herbs which grow all over the world. Africa, America, Europe, India, Australia, and so on. And someone walks into a clinic, any homeopath, he might get a herb, for example, chamomile probably comes from England. Another one will get a herb that comes from Africa or Asia or something. So it's quite amazing that those herbs have found their way all over the world, in people's gardens and all that, and there are herb nurseries and people are growing it, and there are lots of homeopathic labs around manufacturing those things, and because they're taking a small dose, they're not getting any side effects from the large dose of an ordinary medication. So the side effect is a big issue with patients, because they know that when people they have to embark on taking a drug, they realize that they are in for some side effects. But with homeopathy, there is no side effect whatsoever. And not only that, is when it works, people are looking for a cure, not for a drug or something that will keep them alive or pain-free or disease-free. So with homeopathy, after you've been on the medicine for a certain time, it differs from disease to disease, you can be actually free of it.
Wow. Yeah, and that's so key. And this book, I mean, you and I could talk for 2 hours, but I don't want to give everything away. People need to go to Amazon and get this. God is a Homeopath. Gerard Bouquet, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and it's a pleasure to meet you, and again, thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure talking with you, Kate, and I hope the people will get some benefits from it.
I'm sure they will. You really dropped some serious wisdom on us. There's no question about that. And in the book, to try to summarize it too, as well, you do the very same thing, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Drink
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Really excited to have a conversation with D.W. Duke. He's written 6 books and he has released recently a book called Not Without a Fight, and it's about a Polish Jew's resistance to what happened to his family, the struggle of the family during the Holocaust. In fact, pretty well known. So, D.W. Duke, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so tell us how this story came about, and tell us who the story is about, who I think is somebody who's starting, at least, to get well known, his story.
Well, I had had a client that was actually a distant cousin. I was working on a civil rights case with him. And during the course of our conversation, he began telling me a little bit about his father, who was a resistance fighter in World War II Poland. And the more we talked, the more I realized that this is an intriguing story. And I was writing historical novels at the time. And so we decided we'd go ahead and take the story and run with it. So had meetings. At that time, the Holocaust survivor, his father, Cass, was still alive, and I was able to interview him a number of times and get a lot of information. So we put the story together and went with it.
Yeah, and in the story, you know, you talk about being forced in, being somebody who was wealthy and then being forced into a Jewish ghetto and then what that was like. Was it eye-opening for you to hear the story and then weave this into a tale?
It was. I learned so much information, and I was familiar with the Holocaust, but I learned so much information that I was not aware of. just about the way things were done in Poland at the time and what took place and the uprising and what happened during the uprising. So, yes, it was a very eye-opening story for me.
Yeah, so tell us about the story. Give us a little, you know, tease us a little bit. If you and I are having coffee, say, tell me about this story. So tell me about the story.
Okay, Cass Bieberstein was an 8-year-old boy living in Warsaw, Poland at the time. Very wealthy family. They had a mansion and had numerous houses throughout the country. And September 1st, 1939, Germany invaded. They had had some conversations about it before that, but they really didn't know if it was actually going to happen. And so it caught him off guard, but eventually what happened was his family was forced out of their mansion by Oskar Schindler and his group of people, and they took the mansion and they used it to sell Jewish artifacts. But in the process, Cass he had to go from apartment to apartment in Warsaw, because it would, you know, Jews eventually were forced into the ghetto. And so he was eventually forced into the Warsaw ghetto with his family. And over time, because his grandfather was a major in the Polish army, he had taught him how to use a gun. Cass knew how to use a gun, and he became a sniper for the underground resistance. So that was his life until the end of the war. And they had many, many crazy experiences during the process of just trying to survive. And, of course, as I said, he chose to fight back. And in fact, that's where we got the title to the book, Not Without a Fight. He said that we were in a situation where we knew we were going to die. And at that point, we could either fight back or just submit. And he said we fought back. And we were going to go, and we're going to go not without a fight. So that's where the title of the book came from.
Yeah, and again, you can pick the book up, it's fascinating, on Amazon, Not Without a Fight, The Story of a Polish Jew's Resistance. And, boy, you would just be pulled into the story. There's no doubt about that. So for somebody like you, you know, you've written 6 books, you tackle this. Was this rewarding?
It was. That's probably more than any book I've written. I used to write law books. And I decided that I wanted to write books that somebody would read besides judges and lawyers. So I started writing historical novels. And of all the books I've done so far, this was probably, it was the most intriguing.
Yeah, and you hope that when people read this that they get lost in the story, they have a little bit of understanding. Because I think the further we get away from the Holocaust and the younger people, the little they understand.
That's true, and unfortunately, many of the young people today don't even know about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
They believe it didn't occur. So, you know, one of the things that historical novels do, they let you take a historical event and put it in a form that is interesting to the public, that people would actually be interested in reading as opposed to a history book. So that's why I write historical novels.
Yeah. When you write, after you do the law books and then you decide you want people to read your books that are more than in the legal profession, and you go the historical novel route and then you come up with this, where do you hope this goes for you next? Because I can't imagine you're going to stop writing.
No, we actually have the plans are in process to make it into a motion picture. So hopefully we'll be moving forward with that. And there's so much in the story that people really need to know. For example, there was a Catholic family that befriended them before the war, and the Catholic family throughout the whole period that they were in the ghetto and everything that they went through, this family helped them, and they say that if it hadn't been for that family, they would not have survived. And interestingly, after the book came out, some relatives of that family contacted us and said, we know the story. And we talked to them, and it was really intriguing.
Wow. And when you take a book like this one and you then look at moving it toward a motion picture, that process has to be kind of crazy, going to screenplay, et cetera, right?
Yes, yes, it is. And it's a very time-consuming process. People probably don't realize how long it takes to get from concept to a motion picture. It actually takes quite a few years.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. You look at other films, the impact, like Steven Spielberg's Schindler's List. You mentioned Schindler and the impact that he had on so many lives. What did Cass say about that?
Well, it was an interesting situation. Cass actually did not want Spielberg to do that movie, and he talked to him about it. And the reason was he had a different image of Schindler. But people can change, and it's undisputed that at the beginning of the war, Schindler was an opportunist. So, you know, we have the story from the way Steven Spielberg presented it, was, which is that he changed and reformed as time went on and ultimately saved the lives of a number of Jews. So, Cass, you know, I asked him directly, I said, Cass, do you think he really, really changed in your mind or in your heart of hearts? He said, I can't tell you what another person thinks. I can only tell you what I experienced. So we just told his story as it was and didn't make any comments about what may have happened with Schindler in the long run.
Yeah. Again, the book is so interesting, Not Without a Fight, shortening the title there. You can grab it on Amazon. And it is a story that just, it's a historical novel, as D.W. Duke says. So for you, you go from, what was I reading? I was reading your background, and I think it's good to tell people the backstory, that you have a double major in economics and psychology from the University of Michigan. Go Blue! And then you go to Washington University School of Law. Wow, like you're somebody who's super educated. Then you're in Los Angeles, where you are, and you're an attorney, an author, a lecturer, all that kind of stuff. And then to boot, you also have a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. Wow. How do you find time to do everything else in between?
It's difficult. when you're active like that, as you know, there's very little time for anything except what you're doing in your project. So yeah. There's not a lot of downtime.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think people should read this book. It's fascinating. It pulls you in. There is no question about that. And it'll make you see things, I think, in a different way. And I wish you the best with getting this on the big screen. Thank you so much for coming on, D.W. Duke.
My pleasure. And again, thank you for having me on the show.
Wow. So, like I said, for me, how interesting to talk to D.W. Duke. We think of Dr. Edith Egger and the fact that I had that conversation with her about Auschwitz and the point that just in that back and forth with DW that there's so many people that aren't aware of the Holocaust and what happened, younger people. And this book is so well written, though. It's the storytelling is rich. You know, when I talk to people who write novels, which we do here on the show, and that's my quest is what are you doing, what are you reading, that kind of stuff with everything else that we're talking about on the show. And this is an eye-opener, and it's a very, very well told story. I mean, that's it. And Not Without a Fight, which you just heard us discuss there, really shares the true story of a Polish Jew's journey to becoming a resistance fighter, like he said, that was trying, he was trying to get justice for wrongs while trying to survive the atrocities of the Holocaust. And imagine what that was like if you take yourself back there to, you know, 1939, and you're living one way, and then suddenly your life is twisted, turned over, and it's something completely different, and you have no idea what's going to really happen from day to day. So anyway, you can get that on Amazon.com, easy to find, as we said, Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. D.W. Duke did a fabulous job on that. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.